from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And off we go into the final hour of the Rob Brown radio program. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown. He is Lonzo. We are collectively the cast and crew of the three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year. And we are glad to have you all here as we move ever closer to the beginning of the regular college football season and the beginning of the NFL season. We do have a little preseason football on tonight as the New England Patriots will host the Dirty Birds of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The Eagles head to Foxborough, Massachusetts to take on the not Tom Brady's.
Why are the Patriots getting a couple primetime games? I know it's preseason, but it's, I mean, come on. They're going to be bad.
Ready for the hot take?
Bad.
Ready for the hot take? As we are just about set to talk AFC East and NFC East, and we can start right there. The Patriots are going to be the worst team in football this year. Actually, I don't think that's a hot take. I think that's a very reasonable and reasoned take. The Patriots are going to be bad this year, the worst team in football.
Hopefully the Panthers have nothing to say about that.
I think at the end of the year, the Panthers are going to be like, whew, there but for the grace of God go us. At least we're not New England. Hey, to talk about the AFC East, and maybe if we feel about it, the NFC East, joining us here on the show from the BetQL Network. He is the executive producer of BetMGM tonight, the former executive producer of Bet for the Cycle, which you can hear every Saturday from noon to four with myself and former Major League player Cody Decker on that show, and an NFL analyst for the BetQL Network. We call him Hatin' Ass Mario. His mom calls him Mario Heron, and you pain in the ass. Hatin' Ass Mario joins us here on the show. What up, big dog?
What's up? And yes, Lisa Heron, good old Mama Heron, comes into D.C. tomorrow morning.
Nice!
Weekend with her youngest son. Yeah, so pretty excited about it.
Now, where is she going to sleep since you can't both fit in your cardboard box?
My dad got a hotel like right next to my apartment. We got shopping plans, got some museums visiting, bar hopping Saturday. We got a whole system for the rents coming in.
I love it. I need you to work down your tour guide skills here, Mario, because sometime in the next let's say 3 weeks to 7 months, you're going to have another couple of visitors coming up to Washington, D.C. to hang out for a night or two.
Hey, I'll improve. I got some spots to take you guys to. I got a good Irish pub you guys would love.
I like it.
Good seafood, actually, for a pretty decent price. I'd say this about D.C. Seafood, pretty unmatched. Pretty good here. Bang for your buck. I'll say that. Let me rephrase that.
Oh, look at him.
Bang for your buck.
You look at what you did. Because you brought out the arrogant one percenter, and he's going to tell you about real seafood.
Here he comes.
I promise here you, you haven't had seafood that was swimming that morning, bud. And that's I don't care about bang for the buck. If you're gonna, there are things I spend good money on: suits, sunglasses, shoes, and seafood.
I could go down and catch fish out of the creek by my house that was swimming this morning. That's going to make it good,
right? You got to have good both point. Qualities. You got to have fresh, like fresh swimming this morning, and well cooked, well prepared. There's only limited places that can give you both. But what I do need for you to do, Hayden S. Mario, is wherever you take your future guest in Washington, D.C., make sure they got real comfortable cushions on the chairs, bud.
Okay. We can move on now. We can move on.
All right. Just making sure. Mario Heron joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upset. Let's dive in. There's one of my preseason hot takes. Hayden S. Mario, at the end of the year, as much as I actually really like Jerod Mayo, and I think Jerod Mayo may have a chance of being a pretty good coach in the NFL because I do think he's one of those guys that can get players to go to war for him. They're asking him to drive the Daytona 500 in a 97 Civic. The Patriots are going to be the worst team in the NFL this year.
They have the worst roster. They just traded away their best player for a third-round pick, which I thought was pretty good on their end. Like, that's at, you know, I think he's 31, about to be 32. Coming off a torn bicep, like, that's a pretty good bang for your buck on that end for the Patriots. The roster's terrible. I think it speaks volumes too that we probably won't see Drake May this year, like at all. And if I was the Patriots, I wouldn't play him either, right? Like, you look at that roster, you look at their schedule too, who's in their division. Like, this year, if he plays the full season, it is year of making sure that guy's head's okay, because he's going to throw picks. He's going to get hit a lot. He's going to get sacked a lot. He's not going to see a lot of good things come from this year. So, why do that to his confidence? Why do that to his progression? Like, why do that to him when you can just sit him out and go, hey, why don't you just learn under Jacoby Brissett, who's a veteran in this league, who's been around multiple different systems, who's seen it all in the NFL. Just learn. Just learn right now. We don't have a receiver core for you. We barely have an O-line for you. And on the other side of the football, we have nothing else. And you have a first-year head coach. I already bet them 3-1 to have the worst record in the NFL. I would hop on that because after 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it's just only going to get shorter and shorter. This is not the Patriots of old that I grew up with. We're entering a new era of New England Patriots. That new era is going to be pretty, pretty bad for a couple years.
Yeah, I will say this. I think this team today is in worse shape than the Panthers have been in the last 2 years. Like, honestly. And then this is a team that's coming off of a 2-15 year. But I look up and down the schedule. I look up and down the roster. You're in a tougher division. I think there is less talent on the roster, especially now with Matthew Judon going to Atlanta. Great pickup by the Falcons, by the way. We can talk about that later. I think this team has a worse roster. You're talking about a rookie head coach. And again, I like Jerod Mayo. I think he's got potential, but it is his rookie year. You're looking at year two being just as difficult with a guy going through year number two. I think the Patriots this year are in a worse position than the Panthers were at the end of last year, despite being 2-15 with an interim head coach. That's how bad I think this team is right now.
I wouldn't disagree with that, especially at that point last year. They did. I mean, they had Burns. The Panthers did. So you still did have your pass rusher, but you did trade him away, and you got a lot in return. Like, I would say the Panthers kind of traded him at the right time because of everything they got back, where I think, if we're just being completely honest, the Pats kind of traded Judon at the wrong time. And, you know, I know we still have question marks about Bryce Young, but I think there's glimpses, right, of something that you saw. We really don't know what Drake May is. Like, he played, what, three snaps in his first preseason game? I get the way that they're trying to slowly introduce him into the system in the NFL, but we really don't know what we're going to get out of him. And of all the top QB prospects in this past draft, I think out of all of them, Drake May was like the one that kind of had the bad juju around, you know, like kind of, and like UNC quarterbacks love the Tar Heels. Great day to always be a Tar Heel, but they haven't really panned out. You know, they haven't really been great in the NFL. So I do kind of agree with that statement. But Boston, you've had enough happiness. It's time that you come down to hell with the rest of us.
Yeah, I'm not mad about that. Sticking in that division, let's go over to Buffalo. Keon Coleman comes over from Florida State. Love this kid as a person. I think he's one of the funniest people I've ever seen in the football world. No idea what he's going to be as a wide receiver. Not going to be Stephon Diggs in his rookie year as a wide receiver. I love Josh Allen. Josh Allen, he's my favorite quarterback to watch play. I'm a huge fan. But this team took a step back this year.
They're not going to make it to the playoffs. I don't think there's just no chance. Yeah, I'm not buying that at all. Like, I don't buy the Bills. You lost Tre'Davious White. You lost Gabriel Davis, Diggs, Poyer, and their starting center, Mitch Morse, who Poyer and Morse were, like, huge voices in the locker room. Like, I remember talking to, like, I believe a Bills insider 2 months ago, and he was saying how much the locker room's changed with those guys not in it. And then on top of that, you take away Josh Allen's two best weapons. And then, oh, by the way, the Jets are going to be fully healthy this year. And then you have the Dolphins, who has one of the best passing offenses in the NFL. And you're going to tell me you're going to win that division? You're going to tell me you're going to make it out of there and make it into the playoffs? Josh Allen's fantastic. He's awesome. But you're given his number one receiver is what? Going to be Keon Coleman or Dalton Kincaid? Like, that's what we're going to do here? I don't buy it. And I'm old enough to remember when Sean McDermott, like, lost the locker room last year. Are we just going to forget that? And then they barely make it squeak by into the playoffs. Are we going to buy all back into that?
No, he's making great points here.
No, I agree. So that we're clear.
It's not a hot take at all.
Nope. Yeah. I agree with everything he's saying. I disagree with the expression, I'm old enough to remember something that happened 6 months ago.
I feel like people forgot about it. Like, have people not, like, forgotten about that? Like, everyone's just riding high on the Bills. They put them as the leading team to win the freaking division. I'm like, do you not remember the crap storm that was going on just a year ago? We're just going to throw that
away.
By
the way, I forgot, and I want to thank Mario for reminding me because—
Well, you're not old enough to remember, Lonzo.
Well, I am old enough to forget for sure. But so in football years, I mean, one season feels like 10 years, and you can forget a lot of stuff because so many things have happened since then and now. And so you definitely could forget about that.
I agree with what you're saying. In fact, I went so far as to say at the end of last season, no idea why McDermott was staying on as a coach, right? And I'm at the point now where, and I'm saying this, I don't know if I'm saying this more because I am a Josh Allen fan or more because I'm a dude who knows ball. Josh Allen is going to join the club of quarterbacks that after they retire, we go, we wasted that guy. That guy should have been a talent we talk about for a long time, and he got the prime of his career wasted by a Buffalo team that just every year craps the bed around him, and it's going to be worse this year than it was last year.
Well, I'm also think too, like, I think this is going to be the year we see him run the most, just because he's going to have times where he drops back, the line's not going to have a good block, and his receivers aren't going to be open. Like, that's legitimately going to happen. What, Keon Coleman's going to beat Sauce Gardner every single time? No, he's not. Like, that's just not going to happen. He's going to scramble around. He's going to have to run a lot more. And when he runs a lot more, what is Josh Allen known to do? Not slide. Not go out of bounds. He likes to hit. He's going to take the contact. Who's to say that when he's running for, you know, over 70 yards per game and while in fantasy, you're like, this is awesome, he doesn't get hurt during that? Like, that's – I don't wish that upon him. I don't want that to happen to him because I love Josh Allen, and I wouldn't want that for anyone. But that's like – a realistic thing that could happen because this offense is not anything compared to what used to be, but the same expectations we have for him, that just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, how have we not lowered everything? So it's the Jets division to lose. And I feel insane to even say that, but like talent wise, I just don't understand how you look at this division and you go, yeah, I take the Bills or the Dolphins over the Jets. Aaron Rodgers on a revenge tour. I grew up a Bears fan, man. I've been on this train before. I've been hurt. I've cried. I've felt like I got my heart ripped out, and it's all because of one man, and that's Aaron Rodgers.
I thought you were going to say Cody Decker. Mario Heron from the BetQL Network joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. All right, one more team in that division, then we'll very quickly sprint through your thoughts on the NFC East, and that's the Miami Dolphins. This is a football team that last year obviously had one of, if not the best offenses in the regular season. Then they had to go to Kansas City, where it was so cold that people's toes and fingers were falling off, which is dumb, and I hate it. Dome every stadium. We'll fight about that later. Does that team turn a corner? Tua Tagovailoa gets his contract. That distraction is now behind them. Tyreek Hill is out here saying he can run faster than Noah Lyles, which is hilarious. Maybe we'll find out one day. Yada, yada, yada. Are the Dolphins ready after their playoff collapse last year?
No, because as soon as the season gets into late October, November, December, I don't trust that team in any type of cold environment. If it's not a dome, if it's not Miami, I don't trust that team at all. I don't trust that defense. They're a fun team to bet early in the season. I highly recommend that everyone bets in them, believes in them. And then as soon as it gets under 40 degrees, everyone take your money and put it somewhere else. I just fail to believe that this team is going to be anything special. And look, like if you look at just their last four games, right? And that could be these last four games, that could be the difference in them making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. Like how close the wild card is. This is who they play. They're at the Texans. That could be a tough one. Dome, but you're gonna face one of the most talented rosters in the NFL. All right. Then you go at home against the Niners. Okay. You know, you got Kyle Shanahan. That's not gonna be fun. And then you're gonna go in Cleveland. In Cleveland. That's going to be 20 degrees facing one of the toughest defenses in the NFL with Myles Garrett smiling at you the whole game. All right. And then to finish the season, you're at Jets. Who's to say that's not for like the division title or the Jets to steal it or it's the Jets get the one seed or Jets also need to win on the wild card? That's a very tough last four. And that's to sit here and tell me they're going to go 2-2 or 3-1 or 4-0 during that span, you're going to have to really, really convince me. But I just don't buy that at all. So the late season stuff for the Dolphins is why I am out.
All right, we may have to push the NFC East because obviously we can't talk AFC East. I believe it is against some sort of media rules, some sort of law out there that you have to talk about the Jets. So I'll make this one easy. The Jets, go.
Fourth easiest schedule in the NFL, and they're going to be fully healthy, and Aaron Rodgers on a revenge tour. That all just goes, all right, that's pretty scary. Mike Williams healthy. He's a pretty good deep threat, and he could be pretty viable to that offense. This is their, I don't want to say last dance because he's been there for barely 2 years, but it's like their only shot. Haason Reddick, you can keep playing. He's going to play. He's going to play, and he's going to be in a Jets uniform. It's their one shot. I think everyone in that building knows that, and for that reason, I think they actually come out firing. When Jets are underhyped, they perform. When they're overhyped, they underperform. And I think right now they're kind of underhyped.
Dallas Cowboys, obviously, the J.J. CeeDee Lamb story is freaking hilarious because Jerry Jones just can't not put his own foot in his mouth over and over about this cat. Dak Prescott, obviously, I'm going to bet him for everything in the regular season and then the inevitable collapse in the postseason. At some point, there's got to be a year that the Dallas Cowboys finish, or is there?
Not this year. You have, when every star player on your roster is in a contract negotiation and it's not going well, to me that's a red flag. And then on top of that, you have a head coach who's also entering a contract negotiation and is not really doing well. His seat is, he sits on lava every single day. Mike McCarthy does. And they have the 10th hardest schedule in the NFL to go all on top of that. And the media circus in Dallas is not going to slow down. It's only going to get more and more hyped up throughout the year because Jerry Jones wants that. He wants the attention. He wants the media in there creating stories. He thinks that's good for business. I think it's going to be bad for business in the end for the Cowboys. I think they're going to have a really disappointing year. Like, I think in that division, and maybe we can talk about this more next week because I know we're low on time, but I think Commanders finish second in that division. Cowboys go third. I think it's going to be a really, really tough year for them.
Jaden Daniels is winning Rookie of the Year.
He looks really, really good. Insanely good. And by the way, I mean, even being around here, like everyone like comes back from camp smiling. Peter Schwarger, I believe, on NFL Network was like, the things I'm hearing about him are insane. So it's, things are great. And Scary Terry, Indiana boy, shout out to him. He's going to catch a lot of touchdowns this
big
year.
Big Sirs guy.
Sir, that's a common theme. Very common. If anyone listening from Indiana, they know sirs.
Not according to every host of BetMGM tonight, it's not.
Okay, not from Indiana. What? No, Horvy knew. Horvy knew. And he's Midwest.
Okay. Okay. Jaden Daniels wins rookie of the year. That's my that is my hot take future that I'm taking out right now. Philadelphia, real quick. Jalen Hurts, is he or is he not a dude? Because I got to tell you, I don't think he is. I think at the end of this year, Hurts is downgraded to like the third tier of quarterbacks, and Nick Sirianni's out of a job.
So it's tough, right? So I'm a big Kellen Moore guy. I think he got handcuffed in L.A. with Brandon Staley because Brandon Staley's an idiot. I think Jalen Hurts finds his groove again this year. I really, really do. He has two receivers that are both paid and they're both happy. He has a very good tight end in Dallas Goedert. I think this team's going to be pretty special, actually. I know they had a lot of drama last year, and you're even seeing now where him and Serenity weren't really on the same page. I think they're going to be a little bit better than that. Like, I think the bad energy's out. It's a fresh start, and I'm actually a believer in Jalen Hurts. This is also Rob coming to. I've heard Nick Ashew and Ryan Horvath spill to me over and over again how much they believe in the Eagles. So I don't know if I'm just getting, you know, the Eagles bite from them and it's entering into my system. I believe in the Eagles as well. So I don't know if it's that or if it's I'm actually on to something. So I'll let you know.
He is Hayden As Mario, a.k.a. Mario Heron from the BetQL Network, the executive producer of BetMGM tonight. You can hear them every single weekday night from 7 until 11 p.m. Appreciate you, big dog. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate you. Lonzo, looking good.
Okay. All right, everybody. Everybody good? You got it all out of you?
I want to see his trophy. No, I want to see his trophy for the award.
Make sure that bar's got real comfortable couch cushions, pal. Back after this with Fight Club on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome into the Fight Club, the segment that gets shorter and shorter every week, which is why I have to throw haymakers right away. If you had to choose between the money in AEW and the fame in WWE, which one would you choose, Rob Brown? That is your name, right, Rob Brown?
Last I checked. Yeah, okay. I believe that is what it says on the birth certificate. God, that's a great question. I feel like I'm going with the fame. Because the fame creates money for a very long time. When you're done making money as a wrestler, if you're not famous, you're done making money as a wrestler. But if you're famous as a wrestler, then you become an actor, you become a politician, you become any number of other lucrative jobs, or many of them. I think I got to go with the fame.
You know what? I think I do too. And I really, that is legitimately what it comes down to when picking AEW or WWE. I know there's some other things like being able to have a little more creative control in AEW. And even though the crowds aren't as big in AEW as they are in WWE, they're still bigger than probably most wrestlers. I mean, we've had former champions talk about how, you know, they wrestled in front of hardly anybody and then they got to different places and it was what a difference that was. So you're going to get a lot of money up front, but also in WWE, you're definitely going to get the fame. And AEW might catch them someday. They might. It could be a possibility, but right now, with this as big as WWE is, that's the way to go. Bron Breakker throwing Sammy over the rail was brutal. Is this the direction Raw will be heading into when they get to Netflix?
Oh yeah, you're already kind of getting the vibes, right? You're getting a few more four letter words here and there. You're getting a couple more middle fingers here and there. Like, you're starting to get the vibe. Now, I don't think it's gonna go like full rated R. I don't think it's like it's gonna go full IRS is coming back because, or the censorship is coming back because they got a problem with it. But yeah, I think they're going to pick up the intensity a little bit. And who the hell else better to do it than Bron Breakker? That was awesome.
Well, it was awesome for everybody except Sami Zayn. Because that looked like that really hurt.
What if Samantha Irvin forgot to move? She'd be dead today.
Probably. And that would be a loss for all of us. I'm concerned. And I'm sure it's about, as we talked about a few seconds ago, it's about making money.
So really,
I think they got to look, will it hurt their bottom line if they go too far, and how they know what the line is?
Yeah, and I think that's the question, right? Like, how do you determine where the point is that it goes from, we don't mind a little bit more edge, but I would also point out that for many, not all, but for many of us, the golden era of wrestling was the Attitude Era, and we are not even bumping up against the fringes of some of the stuff that happened during the Attitude Era. So I think you're going to get it is going to become a little bit more real life, if you will. I think there's a good reason for that, which is the only place that AEW has survived has been for dudes like me that go, if I'm about to punch a guy in the face, I'm absolutely going to call him up before I do it. And so WWE is going to let you just toy with that.
All right. The Attitude Era was brought on because of competition, though. They had to go that way.
Because the folks who have gone to AEW and stayed over there and have departed WWE did it because, while their stories aren't always the best over there, it does feel like when they have a rivalry, it does feel a little bit more real, the way that real adults who really fight really talk in situations like that. So I really think that is the play. So WWE's like, let's give them just enough that it makes them go, I'll come back for this, right? He just called him whatever. I'll come back to check that out. But not far enough that Lonzo goes, I'm not letting my kids watch anymore. Well, not your kids, but you get it.
Yeah, grandkid, possibly. All right. We're seeing the making of a monster right now.
From
the bottom up. No.
Oh.
Talking about Bronson Reed. Can he rise above the mid-card? Is he destined to stay basically where he is?
So, I'm glad you asked that question that way. I have this thing, and this has been a wrestling take-up I've had for a long time. There is nothing wrong with being a career mid-carder.
No,
there are a lot of guys who made a whole good... Dolph Ziggler made a career out of it. There's nothing wrong with it if you are like the final boss of the mid-card, right? If you want to go from mid-card to highlighter, you got to get by this guy and you got to put on a good show with this guy. And I think Bronson Reed can fill that role, because I'll tell you, as good as he is, he doesn't strike me as a guy that's like carrying the heavyweight championship for a while. He's a guy that I can throw the American title on. I can throw the U.S. championship. I can throw the Intercontinental on him here and there and let him kind of be the final boss that somebody beats to get that belt and graduate up. But if he does like stuff he did to Seth the other day and that becomes a routine for Seth Bronson, as long as it doesn't get like it's just the same thing week after week.
You're not caught up.
Yeah, no, I haven't finished Raw yet.
He did it to Miz, and he did it to a friend of the show, R-Truth, multiple times.
I did see the R-Truth. I saw one of the R-Truth ones.
Yeah.
Again.
Adam is coming out and pointing to him, telling him to get down, so he goes to the other side of the ring and does it from that side of the ring.
Well, he listened to instructions.
Yeah, well, yeah, that is true. I don't know. I can't decide on this. I think he has the personality to possibly carry it for a little bit and maybe even a transitional champion. They put it on for just a little bit till they get to someone who's going to hold it for a while. But I like what they're doing with him, and hopefully they continue and it doesn't fizzle out.
I do too. I think he can be that guy where every time somebody's like right there on the edge of becoming the next guy that goes up, you can send Bronson out with the, I've been fighting to get my opportunity and I haven't gotten it, and now you got it, and now I'm going to frog splash you 50 times. And that's a legitimate threat.
So he's basically Drew McIntyre, but he's just a lot bigger.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, all right. Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan feud. This is leave the rest of the Raw women, make them irrelevant.
I mean,
can you name the other women on the Raw roster?
No. And on top of that, I would say,
whereas SmackDown has a bunch.
Correct. But I would also say, even without it being malicious, hasn't it kind of been that way for a while now anyways? Like, Rhea Ripley was running a combined faction program with Judgment Day, but also this thing on the side. Liv Morgan, same thing, just feuding with Judgment Day and running her thing on the side as the champ. It's been this way for a while. And I will say, I do think it is a failure of Raw, but Liv Morgan is the number one merch seller in WWE on the women's side right now, and she just barely replaced Rhea Ripley. At the end of the day, there's other stories that are happening, and everybody's dialed in on this one. Like, on one hand, push the other gals, give us more women's storylines that are good and compelling. But on the flip side, I can't ask them to stop dialing in on this one.
Need more Chelsea. We absolutely do.
I do not disagree with that.
All right. SmackDown need Roman Reigns as champ.
Wait a minute. Also, it's Tiffy time.
Is it?
Yeah.
But she's on SmackDown. Anyway, so does...
So is Chelsea.
I thought Chelsea was
well. They had a segment the other day with each other.
I thought he was,
because Tiffy asked her to her face, "Don't you have a ladder to fall off of?"
Okay, you're probably right. I messed up. So did you. We do that sometimes. Does SmackDown need Roman Reigns as champ?
No, they don't. I'll tell you what they need. They need a compelling redemption story for Roman. And this story works because Roman gets to be the guy going through his redemption story, but still a dude who comes out and punches people in the face more than he talks. And you've set him up with a wonderful foil. Can we give Solo Sikoa some flowers right now? Because for a dude that a number of months ago were like, oh, I don't know if he can carry it, he's playing the perfect target for Roman and doing to Roman what Roman did to somebody, so many other people. He comes out, he tries to get to Solo. Solo throw a bunch of cannon fodder and other Samoans at him while he runs away and acts like a chicken bleep. And it is the perfect foil for Roman, who now has to go through everything that he put everybody else through for 3 years. For a guy that went, I think even I, lover of Roman Reigns, Pensacola boys, shout out 850. Even as a Roman Reigns guy, I thought the bloodline angle was kind of, I'm like, okay, do we need to do it again? But now that I really think about it, it actually works great.
We'll see what happens. I think he should have been beat down more when he came out there, because you built up the new bloodline as being, you know, the baddest people in the WWE, and then Roman Reigns was able to...
That is fair. He did win 3v1.
Yeah.
That's fair.
You can't do that, because it hurt that faction. Finally, it's being reported that Vince McMahon's health is failing fast, and it's just rumors. Inevitably, he's going to die, because we all do. Everyone dies. That's just we do. Do they put a package together? With all the controversy, do they still put a package together?
I don't think you can. I think you can do like a brief acknowledgement, right? Like if he
do
goes
you bring everyone out on stage, do you do that whole thing?
Yeah, and it kind of feels like that, like he's in that Bear Bryant scenario of like that's all he lived for so long that when he doesn't have it anymore, he just doesn't know how to literally live.
Joe Paterno,
same situation.
He ended his career, which was celebrated with one of the worst kinds of controversy you can have. And so when he passed, there was not a lot.
Yeah. And I think you got to go the same direction. I mean, this man, I'm not going to say he almost killed the company, because at the end of the day, it's the largest wrestling company on planet Earth.
And he made it that way, or at least helped
sure,
make it that
for,
way.
Oh, for sure. And I can't push back against that. At the same time, the stuff that he did, and did it as long as he did it for, I'm sorry to say, is unforgivable. It just is. It just is. And it's unforgivable to the point that if I tune in and I see that, I will take a break if you celebrate that. It's one of those situations where I understand the concept of separating the art from the artist, but this wasn't Vince McMahon the artist. This was the guy who had a foot in both worlds. I don't think you can celebrate what he did in any way, shape, or form. I think you put a picture up on the screen, RIP, and then you go on with the show. That's gotta be how you handle it, right? I don't think you can do it any other way.
I don't know if that's what they'll do. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. I don't know. I would feel gross. That's just me. Back after this to wrap it up. The Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. Mauricio Pochettino is the new head coach of the United States men's national football team. We talked a little bit about it yesterday because he very rapidly became the number one candidate for the job. And listen, I'm good with it. Would I have liked a Klopp? Would I have liked a Guardiola? Yes, of course. Of course, of course. You want the best name in the game. But I also said yesterday on the show, this is kind of a reality check for those of us that are fans of United States of America's men's national soccer team. The gut check is that despite the fact that we are auto-qualified for the 2026 World Cup, despite the fact that we are hosting the Men's World Cup, the reality is we're still a very tough job, okay? The talent is as good as it's ever been for this team, okay? And the good news here is Mauricio is a guy who is known for developing young talent, and he has done so for some of the biggest clubs in the world, Paris Saint-Germain, Tottenham Hotspur. One season at Chelsea did not necessarily go the way that they'd hoped it would at Stamford Bridge, but he did, I would argue, increase the quality of play. I would also argue that Mauricio is not a gigantic step down, or at least not as big of a step down as this team could have been forced into taking. Pochettino says no to this team, and you are looking at, once again, going down to, I'm sorry to say, I hope that this changes one day sometime in my lifetime, but taking a step down and going to get another MLS manager who is out of his depth to some degree. I hope one day, if only for the U.S. men's national team, I hope one day that the MLS is eventually recognized as one of the world's top leagues, as opposed to a spot that old international players come to give themselves a farewell tour, right? I love Leo Messi, but he's in his farewell tour. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, I don't know why he's one of my favorite players of all time. He's the type of dude I hate in real life, but Zlatan Ibrahimovic, the dude, cracks me the hell up. Glad to see him. David Beckham, same story. It has been a parade of great all-time international players, but they come here for the last couple of years of their career for a little farewell tour, one more paycheck before they ride off into the metaphorical sunset, right? I hope that changes one day, so that one day some of the better players on planet Earth come here, and therefore some of the better managers on planet Earth are here, and therefore, as U.S. soccer turns over its managerial position every handful of years, the pool of top-notch candidates is here, is American, is brought up through a system that develops great coaches, but we're just not there yet. And so to be able to get a name that has international recognition, that, yes, is on the second tier of international coaches, guys, for the U.S. Soccer Federation, that's a coup. That's a get. This is the equivalent, to put it into college football terms, so that for those of you that don't watch footy but are maybe just kind of starting to get intrigued because, hey, Rob Brown talks about it quite a bit, and that guy makes it sound awesome. Like Lonzo, big, like we're getting him into being a big soccer guy. We're almost there, all right? For a guy like Alonzo, to put that into college football terms, this is like a Kentucky. Are they a bad team? No. It's like Mizzou. Are they a bad team? No. But are they a good team? Also, no. They're kind of in that no man's land where they're not a team that's missing out on bowl games. They're going bowling way more often than they're not. But you're not quite ready to name them a conference championship threat, you know? You're not. And so when a name like Kalen DeBoer comes available, you don't connect the name Kalen DeBoer to Missouri. You don't connect them to Kansas. You connect them to Alabama. You connect them to Ohio State. When Dan Lanning becomes available, you're not sending that guy to replace Sam Pittman at Arkansas. He's going to get Ryan Day's job when Lonzo fires him in Ohio. We are in that Kentucky, Arkansas, Kansas State. Like, could be good, right? But what you're hoping for is you're hoping for somebody to come in and do for Team U.S. Soccer what Kalen DeBoer just did for Washington, to suddenly elevate them to a point that you go, whoa, where the hell they come from? Oh, they're good now. And then to stick around for a little while, to stay around for a little while, not to come here, do it for a flash in the pan year, and then Spain calls or Germany calls or Italy calls or England calls and they immediately run to that spot. But here's what I'll give U.S. soccer credit for. A federation that I have macho man elbow dropped verbally many, many times. I thought they got themselves into a little bit of trouble because when Greg was let go and the coaching search began, Matt Crocker, who was in charge of it, promised Team U.S. soccer fans a big name. Promised them a big name. I don't know what other big names were going to be available. Initially, there were a lot of folks that said Jurgen Klopp might be in the mix. And Klopp, the big old troll that he is, on the 4th of July, put up a tweet with a bunch of pictures of him in U.S. football stadiums wearing U.S. football jerseys and sweaters and whatnot. And then he was like, yeah, no, I told y'all, I'm retired. I'm good. I'm out. I ain't doing it. And I went, uh-oh. I think he got in trouble here, did Matt Crocker, because he promised us a big name. And there goes the big name. He just said, I'm out. That job ain't for me. And if it ain't him, who in the hell's it gonna be? And then Mauricio burst onto the scene as the number one candidate. And then Mauricio gets the job. Well, here's the thing. I'll give you one more. Mauricio Pochettino is a dude that has managed egos well. And that is something that I think needs to be a primary consideration for Team USA. Because while you do have the most talented group of guys we've ever had pull on the kit featuring the stars and the stripes, you also got guys like Christian Pulisic. Now, Pulisic doesn't seem to have a big ego to me. Doesn't say, could have a bigger ego, I guess might be the way to put it. But he is a dude who is being celebrated across Europe. If he gets into a spot where he feels like, I'm the man now, dog, and you got to handle that, Mauricio's a dude that can do that. Gio Reyna is a dude who I have argued many times might be the most creative ball handler in the attacking third on this squad. But you also saw the issues when Mauricio didn't get PT in the last World Cup, and his parents decided that they were going to try to blow this up. I need a Mauricio Pochettino to be able to handle that. And I need a guy who can attract those dual internationals, those guys we have a shot for, but they can also play for Mexico or Germany, Italy, Spain. They can now look and go, wait a minute. If I go play for the Americans, I get a Premier League caliber manager and I get to represent a country that I got a foot in. That's good. I got to tell you, U.S. soccer fans, you got to recognize you were never in the hunt for the biggest two or three names, but the fact that you were able to pull the fourth or fifth biggest name is a coup, and all the things he is best at are, to me, the things that this side needs moving forward. I love the hire. Lonzo couldn't wait to push that trigger.
It's Rob Brown Show seal of approval, or at least that part. All right, the first thing that is Xing is SSN.
I don't hand out the seal of approval very often. All right, it's earned. SSN.
Social Security numbers.
Have we had a hack?
You haven't seen?
No, I've not.
Potentially every Social Security number has been hacked.
Well, y'all can have mine. You steal mine, you going into debt, Jack. Good luck. Good luck. Wish you the best.
What if they pay your bills? What if they steal your number? They steal your identity and pay all your bills.
I mean, I feel like anybody stealing SSNs is not stealing it to do the world a favor. No, you know what I mean?
Probably not.
Not a great look, Bob.
No, it's kind of scary, actually. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Samantha Irving.
Do you believe in 2024 we can be off the grid? Do you believe being off the grid is even a possibility? I don't think it's possible anymore.
If you live in, like, a desert.
See, I don't even think so. I mean, at this point, there's satellites flying around the world. You can look at Google Maps. Like, you can't build anything anywhere that isn't visible immediately. Can't do it. All right, Samantha Irving?
Samantha Irving.
Ooh. Should I not?
Yeah, well, if you do, that's why. So,
okay. It's because she's hot and she knows it.
Ricochet and Buddy Murphy both had some fun pictures put up.
I got it. Okay. Because Buddy Murphy not too long ago took a picture of himself with his head resting on Rhea's Ripley.
Ricochet has done the same thing. So, yes. And that is...
Had to do my best Buddy Murphy impression.
Yeah. So
the boys just out here living the dream.
They are. All right, the next thing that's Xing is the Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University is trending because there's a bunch of lunatic renegade horse chestnut fans clamoring for Ryan Day's job.
No, that's not why they're trending. Oh, okay. There's another thing out there talking about the top 10 teams that have been ranked in the preseason poll, and Ohio State leads it with 36 straight seasons of being ranked in the preseason poll, followed by Oklahoma at 25, Georgia at 23, Alabama at 17, and Clemson at 13.
And if we are keeping it a buck, this is why. If Ryan Day doesn't get it done this year, or at least threaten in the playoffs, this is why. Not losses to Michigan. This is why you would eventually look at moving on.
Well, when you're ranked that high every single year, there are expectations. And the expectations are at least win the Big Ten title, which they haven't done thanks to Michigan.
Yeah, at some point, the expression, always the bridesmaid, never the bride, gets to be just too much to handle.
And finally, the last thing that is Xing is Travis Kelce.
I really thought you were going to say Joe Hendry. Travis Kelce.
I did that yesterday. I can't do it every day. He is Xing, though.
I believe you can. Yeah. Travis Kelce is Xing because somebody just put out a top 10 list where Travis Kelce is no longer ranked as the number one tight end in football. Or Taylor Swift.
Well, it's that. It's about his hair. He's growing his hair out. And Patrick Mahomes said he's been trying to get him to do it for years. Taylor asked him once, and now he's growing his hair out. So, I mean, that's how that works, though. I mean, whether it's Taylor or any wife or a potential wife. Or future wife, yeah.
I mean, nobody specific.
It's some do the opposite.
Yeah, nobody specific.
Some say stop growing your hair out.
Yeah. Bad news for her is September 21st. She's locked in and she can't do nothing.
Mullet time, baby.
Mullet time. But the mullet is like an acceptable haircut now. I see them all over the place amongst the youths. We should go for it. Hey, that's it for us. Come back tomorrow. Rashad Beard will be here at 8:40 to talk about today's joint practice and Carolina's preseason game on Saturday against the Jets. And, you know, it's Friday. We're going to get weird. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. Thanks for being here. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. See you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quarterback pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.